This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are at Spy Fat Chicks. And we're just going to switch this over to being a apology, a regular podcast.
Well, first off, where have we been? We had some episodes recorded on the recorder, and the recorder ate them.
It got corrupted when I tried to transfer them over.
The recorder went out drinking with our episodes. They had a wild night, crazy things happened, and everything was all corrupted.
Now it's working, now that it's been formatted, yes. A.K.A. went to detox.
We had the recorder in rehab. So
it got Charlie Sheen's autograph, though, to be topical.
It was horribly demoralizing, because we had two really good episodes, and we lost them both.
Yeah.
And we just haven't had a chance since then to sit down and do anything else. Life is changing again. Sheila's on a permanent schedule, but it's a new schedule.
On midnights.
Woo! So we don't get to see each other as much now, but we still want to do the podcast.
It might end up being irregular. We're going to try and make it weekly, but we can't make any promises.
Yes. So we're definitely going to put it on hold after this episode until probably May. That's going to give us a chance to build up a backlog of episodes for some places we've been recently, and then we'll start releasing them out. I figure worst case scenario is going to be at least 2 a month.
Yeah.
But we're just kind of trying to jockey spending time together, finding time to eat together.
Right.
And everything else. So we're not going anywhere. We just need a couple months to fall back into the new schedules, and then I think we'll be pretty cool.
Get into our stride.
Exactly.
It's been a rough
winter.
Winter, yeah.
It has. It's been really hard for us to sync up.
I don't even want to say year, because the year just started.
Yeah.
But
I mean, everything else is going great. It's better than last year. It's just we don't have as much time together.
Time is definitely now is a premium.
Yes.
And since this is a hobby, this isn't a profession for us, we have to take what time we can get that we're not spending on other things.
Yes. And it's also hard for us to find time to eat together out someplace new, because sometimes when you get home from work and you only have a couple hours together, you don't really want to take a risk going someplace that's going to suck. And we go to a lot of places that suck, trying to find a good one.
Nobody ever sees it because we don't want to talk bad about a place.
We don't want to be negative. Unless it's like something dangerous, like, wow, we saw them, you know, pooping in the soup, then we'd obviously say something.
Right.
But we just, sometimes we just want to go get comfort food, which is going someplace that we know we like going to Mr. Burger,
right.
Going to Viva.
Especially if we're on a budget,
yeah.
Too. Where
yeah.
We know how much we have to spend, we know exactly where to go to get a good meal for the money.
And we're limited on time sometimes, too. So, don't worry, we're not disappearing forever. We are now going to re-record for you the Toronto episode that we promised. And we've just chased away 2 more people by recording in public. Woo!
Oh, well. Anyway.
So, we did say we were going to do a Toronto episode, and we did go to Toronto. We did be tourists for a day, and it was awesome.
We could actually call this episode Big City, Small Town.
Yes.
Or, and this is definitely going to have the tag, the ZFC on the road.
Yes. Well, we're going to do that one in the second part in another episode, right?
I thought we were going to just cram it all together.
No, let's do 2 separate.
Should I cut all that out?
No, leave it in.
Look how rusty we are.
Exactly. Wait. Let me get the WD-40 out. Shake, shake, shake. Shh. All right, we're good.
All right.
So, originally the Toronto episode was just going to be about that, but then we had another adventure in a smaller town.
Peterborough.
And Sheila's like, it's like big city, little city. Like, yes, it is. So
I thought it would be a great idea to do, since we're going to redo the episode anyway.
Well, yeah, but I want to, we'll see how long it is. I don't want it to run long, because the last time we did the episode, it was long.
Okay.
Because there's so much to talk about, because we also wanted to talk about the City Pass.
Okay. Well, I guess we should start, then.
We should start. So we started our day going into Toronto bright and early, so we're buying the City Pass. And you can go to the website, just put City Pass into Google. I'm not even going to bother giving a website for it. And there are a bunch of cities that participate in this, and it's this giant multi-pass that you get that's good at a bunch of tourist attractions in a particular city. And it's usually priced significantly cheaper than if you went to the attractions individually.
As long as you go to at least 3, you get your money's worth.
Yes.
Well, if you 2, go to 2...
You break even.
You break even.
3, you got a deal. If you go to all 5 on the Toronto pass...
You're good to go.
Yes. Now, some of the other cities have more things on their pass, but the passes are more expensive. I think the Boston one had like 8 or 9. The Philadelphia
right.
one had like a hideous number of them on it, too.
But not the Motor Museum.
No, not the Motor Museum. But the Toronto pass has 5 places. It has the CN Tower, the ROM,
Science Center,
the Zoo, and Casa Loma.
Right.
So we intended that week to do all five.
Or at least four.
Or at least four, yes. And then it snowed, so we didn't make it to Casa Loma. But we did make it to the CN Tower, we did make it to the ROM, and we did make it to the zoo.
Right.
And we realized we love zoos in winter. Again.
Zoos in winter are awesome because...
Yes.
Like, half the animals that are there are safari animals, and they're all hot and upset whenever it's summertime. The other half are the winter animals, and they're super hot and really upset. But in wintertime, everybody's cool. Everybody's happy.
And it's quiet and peaceful and gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's just nice. I mean, go to the zoo in the summer, obviously, and have fun. But if you ever have an opportunity where it's not a too cold day... Maybe, you know, for the Americans, something in the mid-30s, for the Canadians, something like, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 degrees. Totally go check the zoo out if you've got the time.
Valentine's Day is a good time to do it because February is usually a little bit milder than January, and March is definitely a good time. A lot of people go on March break, I think.
Yes. So our adventure, though, where we went into the city, we decided to go to the ROM, pick up our city passes, and we spent most of the morning in the ROM, which is the Royal Ontario Museum, for people who don't know what ROM is, because I didn't know until a few years ago, so I should probably explain that.
I suppose.
I guess. We managed to pick the one day of the year.
Like, I knew there was going to be kids there.
Yes.
But all the children were there. Every child in Ontario seemed to be there that day.
We're not exaggerating. It was called, like, Bursary Day or something.
Yeah.
And it was a special day where all these schools come to the ROM. And we were warned by the staff. We bought our tickets, and they're like, are you sure you want to do this today? Like, yeah, it's like, I have a special day off. This is the only day we can do this together. Oh, well, you might want to start at the top of the museum because we have thousands of school children coming right now. And we turn around and they're flooding into the museum.
And they're really happy to be there.
Oh my God, yes.
Like, normally, I don't really care for children very much, but at least they were excited to be there.
Sheila loves children. She just loves the ones more that she's related to.
Yeah.
The rest of them do have to prove themselves to her. I, however, love all children equally. So we go to the top of the museum, which happened to also have the armor exhibit.
Oh, God.
And we walk in right before all the children, and we're looking at the armor. You know, we're medieval fans, and we've seen a lot of armor in our time, and it was cool to see, but it was nothing that we haven't seen at other places.
Yeah.
So, but I did like the way they had the exhibit set up, where you could see the difference between, or that you see the comparison between modern sports equipment and the protection and the armor they had, and the hockey comparisons. That was kind of cool.
That was cool, to make it so people can relate to it.
Exactly.
So it's not such an alien concept.
So we get up there, we run through the little armor exhibit, and we turn around.
Cool. Let's go over here and look at this pottery. This looks pretty interesting. Ooh, they have drinkware. And then we turn around, and all the children are like, oh my God, armor!
Swords! And there are like probably 500 kids crammed into this little space, all running from like exhibit to exhibit. Totally overstimulated, because they probably were shoved full of sugar before their parents sent them on a field trip. And I'm like, oh my God, the kids are attracted to it like flies on crap.
I know.
So we fled.
We're browsing the pottery leisurely and in quiet solitude because none of the kids care about pottery.
Yes. We ended up going over to the design exhibit where they talked about different designs of like furniture and things.
So we saw the Frank Lloyd Wright chair.
Yes.
Table and chair set.
I was much more excited by the Frank Lloyd Wright table and chair set than the children were. So we got to spend a lot of time in that exhibit and not be bothered. So overall, the ROM was a good time, a lot of cool things, despite the children everywhere, but like you said, they were excited to be there, and how can I be upset with children that are excited to be learning?
Yeah, they weren't just, this place sucks, and just making a nuisance to themselves. They were all really happy to be there, and they were all having a really great time, and how can I possibly be upset if somebody is getting into history and culture that much?
Though, I never knew you could take pictures so many different ways. All these little kids have cell phones now, so they all had their cell phones out there taking pictures.
Yeah.
Then all of them had mom and dad's digital camera.
And then they were taking pictures of like themselves in front of stuff.
Yes. But then, a bunch of them had their Game Boys, the DSIs.
Oh, yeah.
So they were all running around taking pictures with their DSIs. I felt like I was trapped in some kind of bad horror movie where we were giving power to the ghosts, so they were just waiting to rip through the space-time rift because of all the camera power. I feel so documented because we were in the background of all these kids' pictures.
Probably.
So.
Someday they're going to go, ooh, who are those people?
God, they're huge. They take up the whole camera. I should have used the wide angle. Anyway, so we did get a snack at the museum. So we did check out their food court.
Yeah, we should definitely talk about the food situation at the museum.
Well, first, getting to the food court was...
horrible.
It was a quest worthy of Odysseus.
Yeah.
I really thought it was going to take us 40 years to get there. or 20 years at least to get there.
And then 20 years to deal with the trauma of getting there.
Yes. There's only one elevator that will take you there, but there's a bunch of elevators all over the museum.
The best thing to do is actually ask for directions. I know you are loath to do it, dear listeners, probably, but just ask for directions so that you can find that
one elevator. The magic elevator.
And I think it's in the lobby, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of in the middle, but at the back.
The whole museum is set up like a dungeon in Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Honestly, the whole thing is set up like something from Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
It is hard to navigate without assistance, because there are doors that just don't go anyplace, and stairs that don't take you where you think you're going.
Yeah, and there is plenty of... there's places that you'll miss if you don't realize that you're allowed to go back there,
yeah.
Or you don't know how to get there, because there's this giant cube sculpture that has a bunch of exhibits in it that's, like, kind of added onto the outside of the museum.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of volunteers. Do not be afraid. They're very friendly. Ask them for directions, and they'll be more than happy to help you.
Exactly.
There's also a place, if you want to save your money for eating out in Toronto, you can brown bag it. In the basement, there's a cafeteria that's the brown bag area.
Yes.
So you can definitely bring your own food if you want, instead of going to the cafeteria that Tracy's going to tell you about right now.
Oh,
because I keep interrupting her.
I have to share this too, though, because this is hilarious. And you know what? Re-recording this, the part about the ROM is so much better this time.
Yeah.
I think settling for a few weeks is really giving us better clarity with it. But we first found the brown bag area. So we go down, and we just see the writhing mass of school children.
It smelled like children peanut and
butter.
Lunches.
Yeah,
it smelled like peanut butter and sweat.
And juice boxes. So we're on our way out after we realize this is not the place where you go to buy food. This is the place where you bring your children to, like, let them feed in a frenzy or something. And they had, you know, when you go to, like, a visitor center, they have those little displays set up with pamphlets
yeah.
that you can get for all these different things. We had to go past one of those to get back to the elevator to escape. And as we're walking by, we got to witness this bizarre frenzy. It is the only word we can use to describe the entire
yeah.
experience with the children. But it's like watching piranhas feed. A couple
yeah.
little girls go up to the little pamphlet area and start taking pamphlets.
And they're like, oh, you know, maybe I'll get my parents to come bring me back here. My mom would be interested in seeing this.
I can use this for scrapbooking, whatever. Which those right. are great for scrapbooking if you do that. And all of a sudden, it turned into the cultural equivalent of a feeding frenzy. So then there's like
a free souvenir. 3 dozen
little kids mobbing this little display of these little pamphlets, trying to collect them all, because they're apparently Pokemon. And we just see these little, like, 6 through 10-year-olds, pretty much, walking away with armloads of these pamphlets.
The poor volunteers are like, I have to restock that. And they're just going to throw them into the recycling eventually anyway.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So that was just... I felt like Jane Goodall. I really did.
Yeah. So I felt like Jane Goodall's filthy assistant.
So,
you know, the one that had to shovel all the gorilla poo.
So after being across with Jane Goodall and Link, we rescued the princess and found the cafeteria. The food... We only got a snack. We ended up getting some poutine and a tart. And a soda pop. And it was expensive because it's in the museum.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to be expensive. The poutine was okay.
Yeah.
It was restaurant poutine.
Yeah.
It was at least made with cheese curd. I mean, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't. They didn't try to just pass off some waxy mozzarella onto it.
It was about the same size as if you had gone to Harvey's and gotten their poutine. It was probably $1 or $2 more.
Yeah.
But the tart.
It wasn't
you had,
like stadium prices, but it was definitely more than fast food or restaurant prices.
That's actually a good comparison. And but the tart you had.
It was actually really good.
Yeah, it was like this crazy apple tart, but it was fairly gourmet made, and it looked fairly fresh.
It was good. It had like little slices of apple arranged in a pinwheel.
Mm-hmm.
So think that kind of tart. And it was probably about...
It was a good 2.5 inches across,
yeah.
probably. It was decently sized. It was no more than what we would pay going to a good bakery
yeah.
to get a single baked good. So... If you're going to go to the museum, you might want to get a snack there. I don't know if I'd recommend to eat there. Nothing looked particularly good while we were there.
They didn't really have anything there that you couldn't get anywhere else.
Exactly.
It's not like the cafeteria at the Native American Museum in D.C.
Exactly. Which, when you go, if you go to that one, they actually have foods based on real Native American recipes from different regions, which
yeah.
is really cool. It's a great way to go.
Indigenous
try
ingredients
it.
From the different tribes, but
yes, well, they don't really have that at the ROM. But ROM people, if you hear this, you should totally take a note on that and start implementing that, because that's so cool. Anyway,
yeah, and it'll definitely make people go there to eat.
Yes,
because everybody knows about the Native American Museum in DC's cafeteria. It's legendary.
It is. But the snacks there, not bad at the Rom. So I would put it as, I would go back and grab a snack, but I really saved my appetite for going out later on.
Yes.
So after we scoured the museum, we sat in like the Chamber of Tranquility on the way out.
That was cool.
I don't even know how to describe it. It's this little room when you come in, and it has these funky geometric chairs, and you just kind of sit in there over this grate.
And it's got like this white noise playing in the background.
Yeah.
And it's got like dim lighting. It's supposed to be kind of like a, almost like a sweat lodge, but without all the high heat.
And sweating. Yes. The dehydration. There's no dehydration, but we sat there for a while and decompressed from having the children surrounding us and left. And realized we really hadn't eaten much all day. We'd had a bagel and a snack, and it was 2 or 3 o'clock, and we were not going to make it to dinner. Our original plan involved finding some street meat.
But there was no hot dog carts to be found.
They were all hidden.
Yeah.
The only one we knew of that was close by was all the way back at Union Station, which we were not going to take the subway all the way back to Union Station to get a hot dog and then go back to wherever we wanted to go next.
So, and usually they're all over the place, but I guess because it was winter.
Yes. And it was particularly cold that day, because I managed to pick the day where the wind chill was outrageous. So we marched ourselves over to Yonge Street and started walking south on Yonge Street.
And we're like, well, there's plenty of shopping here. We're going to definitely be able to find something for a light lunch. Mm-hmm.
And we ran into the typical trap that Sheila and I have for each other. What about that? No, that doesn't sound good. What do you think of this? No, I don't like that. But this is, we keep switching off on it.
Yeah.
She'll point something out, and I veto it. I'll point something out, she's like, I don't know.
Or then you're holding out to see, like, what else is down there.
Because you know there's something else better coming.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you don't want to pass all the good things and then be left with nothing. So.
And we had both agreed we weren't going to a chain. I said, we're not going to go to a chain. We're not going to go to something that's, we could go to any place else. We're going to go to something that's local.
We could have grabbed a couple slices of pizza, but we didn't want to do that.
Exactly. So we ended up finally, we both stopped holding out. And we hit around 570 Yonge Street. And we found this little Chinese place that does takeout Chinese, and you can eat there too, and it's called Not Just Noodles. Mm-hmm. And it was a really nice surprise.
Yeah. I wasn't really sure what to expect. I figured we'd just go in there and get some noodles. And they did have noodles, but they also had a bunch of other dishes too. And their prices were really good.
Yes.
Like, when you walk in, there's probably, like, what? Maybe 4 or 5
tables? Not many, yes. It's definitely a quick lunch turn of a kind of place.
Yeah, exactly. Reminded me a little bit about the noodle place in Montreal, but it had more than just noodles.
Yes.
And every day they had 2 different things that you could pick from for a lunch special that was $4.99.
It was like column A and column B. Yeah.
Right. So you could pick either or. Mm-hmm. And then there was also all kinds of noodle bowls and stuff on the menu. And I actually ended up getting a plate of Shanghai noodles.
Yes.
Which are the really thick, doughy ones. And it had a whole bunch of stuff in it. It had beef, pork, shrimp, chicken. It had all kinds of stuff. It was really, really tasty, and it was $8.
Yeah, it was right around $8. Did it have tofu in it, too?
Yeah, I think it might have.
It was a killer plate of Shanghai noodles. Mm-hmm. And then I got one of the lunch specials, and I got, I think, column B that day, and it was barbecued pork, I think.
Yeah.
It came with soup, it came with an egg roll, and it came with fried rice. Fried rice was great.
Yeah.
The soup was, I don't know which one it was on the menu. It was kind of like a sweet and sour soup, but it had more body to it.
Yeah.
It was very unctuous, and it was very tangy. I really dug it. Mm-hmm. Sheila wasn't too sure about it, but I really got into it.
It was okay.
It was very different. I'm trying to remember what I actually had for my main course. I know I devoured it.
Yeah, it didn't last long, but it was plenty of food for $5.
Oh, yes. It was a huge amount of food. And I also had the egg roll that came with it was, had to have been homemade.
Yeah.
You don't get that particular texture that they got out of the dough and everything without it being put together by hand.
Yeah.
It was really good. Very tasty.
Oh, and as a fun anecdote, because you know we're all about anecdotes, because that's part of why you guys are probably listening to the podcast, it was run by 2 angry women and 1 cheerful, blissful, ignorant man.
Yes.
He's just like, la 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 la, and he seemed so happy, and they're like, "Rrr."
The staff was a little curmudgeonly, but the food was so good, I don't care. And they weren't mean, they were just curt. Yeah.
Didn't give bad service, they gave efficient service.
Exactly, which I'm okay with.
And I'm totally fine with that. It's not like they were rude. They just, they weren't making small talk, and that's fine.
But the whole bill came to maybe $15 for lunch, which was a great deal, especially in Toronto.
Yeah, and that was including drinks, too.
Yes. So after fortifying ourselves with delicious, delicious noodly things, We ended up getting back out on the street and decided to change our plans up, because originally we were going to go straight from the museum to dinner and then go to the CN Tower. But we decided, let's go to the CN Tower first and do that, then go to dinner. But we did manage to go to the CN Tower after dark, which was awesome.
Yeah. I think by the time we actually ate, it was probably around, what, 3? Almost 4?
It was, the sun was starting to set, because it was late January already, so. Yeah, we, by the time we finished actually eating, we found a place to eat and actually finished, it was close to 4, 4:30.
Yeah, the sun wasn't quite getting going down yet, but by the time we got on the subway and got to the CN Tower, the sun was well down, so.
So, we ended up walking back to...
Oh, we went to the Harry T, too.
Yeah, we went to the Harry T, and we went to the world's biggest bookstore, and then we went to the world's, like, smallest used bookstore next door that had better prices. Which is so weird. They have this giant bookstore in Toronto. It calls itself the world's biggest bookstore. I can't tell you if it truly is or not. But right next door to it, there's a small used bookstore that probably has the best prices I've ever seen on new used books. Yeah. And by new, I mean things that are fairly modern. Not I'm looking at 1980 editions of Stephen King stuff.
Right.
I got the Salt book that I've been looking for a while for like $6 or $5. I picked up one of the... Oh, the same series as the Master and Commander thing. I got one of those.
The Patrick O'Brien stuff?
The Patrick O'Brien stuff. I got one of those I'd been looking for like $5. And these are books that in Canada run a lot more than that. And everything was in great condition. Amazing selection. And they were really busy. So if you're going to go book shopping, check out the little place next to the world's biggest bookstore after you go browse in the world's biggest bookstore. Because you're probably going to find something there that you've been looking for if you like to read.
The biggest bookstore used to be independent. But now it's owned by Chapters.
Yes.
So yeah.
So we browsed there.
So I guess we did actually eat around 2, maybe 3.
I think it was closer to 3 or 4, because we didn't get to the museum until they opened at 10.
Yeah, you're right. So but then by the time we did all that shopping and running around, it was definitely dark.
Dark. So we ended up going down to the to Union Station. We took the subway and the Eaton Center down to back to Union Station, and we walked to the CN Tower. But you can walk to the CN Tower and not be out in the elements. They have the path. It's like an airwalk thing.
It's called the Skyway, is it?
That's what it's called, the Skyway, not airwalk. But you go on the Skyway.
Airwalk.
I don't know. It sounded good. Maybe they should rename it, you know?
Anyway.
So it's a nice walk. It wasn't oppressive because it wasn't cold. It was chilly. You still wanted your coat on, but it wasn't like you're walking through the wind, and it takes you over the railroad tracks.
And you don't have to worry about slipping either.
Don't have to worry about traffic either and playing live-action Frogger, which is nice, too. So we managed to come out there, went to the CN Tower, and the City Pass includes not just a trip up the elevator to the main observation deck. If you want to go up to the little satellite pod or whatever they call it, it's extra.
Yeah.
But it also includes either going to the little movie, 3D movie thing they have, or doing the little movie ride they have.
We ended up doing, was it the movie ride?
We did the movie ride, where they put you in one of the little miniature theater cars that seats like, I don't know, 16 people.
It's got seat belts.
And it throws you around and sprays water in your face while you watch the little movie on the screen,
and
like you're on a ride.
On you.
It's like an artificial roller coaster, which I don't know if I necessarily pay to go do it, but because it came with the pass, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So
I was like, how vigorous is this ride if it needs seat belts?
Yes.
You know? What exactly is going to happen?
It was actually pretty vigorous, surprisingly.
It was.
But the CN Tower at night is just gorgeous.
Yeah. Tallest freestanding structure in North America?
Yes. And they have the glass floor in the one area, so you can look all the way down and get vertigo, which was so cool.
Tracy's like, what's that? I'm like, that's exactly what you think it is. She's like, oh my god, really? Let's go look at it.
Mm-hmm. But being able to look out at the city at night and see everything lit up was just gorgeous. It was a clear night, too, and that made it even better.
Yeah.
So anybody who's interested in going and checking it out. If you don't have kids, I'd say go at night. I don't know if the kids will appreciate it at night as much or not, because they'll want to see stuff during the day, like the cars and all the people.
But at night, everything's lit up and it's really cool.
And they do have a restaurant at the top, too, that we are going to go back someday and check out and review.
Yeah.
I've read
it's
a lot of good things.
It's a bit pricier, but it's supposed to be really good food.
But they have a prefix menu, too, which is our next topic
of
discussion.
Oh, definitely.
So after we did the CN Tower, we were just famished, because we burned off all the noodles and egg rolls and everything, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And when we decided to go into the city, we were originally going to go check out something like an Indian restaurant. And then my boss had mentioned to me that at that time there was something going on in Toronto called the Winterlicious Festival. And it's just one of those, like, tourist, you know, get people to go out and do stuff in the middle of winter when revenue's low to help boost revenue in the city
for
restaurants.
It's like the post-Christmas slump, right?
Yes. And a bunch of restaurants participate by creating a special menu for it. And a lot of places do what's called a prefix menu, which it actually is spelled as...
It's like P-R-I-X, which in French is pronounced pre instead of pricks. And then it's like F-I-X-E, which is just fix.
So you want to say pricks fix, but it's prefix.
Right.
But I still want to say pricks fix. So, but a bunch of places did this prefix menu. And what's nice about this particular style of menu is everything's included for one price, except for your drinks.
Yep, you know exactly what you're going to be paying.
So you usually get an appetizer, you get a main meal, and then you get a dessert with it.
And you get a choice of usually about three or four different kinds of things for each part of the meal.
Exactly. So you can mix and match. So most of the prefix menus for Toronto for the Winterlicious Festival were anywhere from $20 to $50, I think. Mm-hmm. And there were some that were hideously expensive, but those were special event one-time ones that we looked at and said, well, we don't have the money anyway.
Lobster and...
Well, there's a couple I looked at that were like $200, but included just crazy stuff. I thought, maybe someday, but not this year.
Right.
Maybe, you know, 10 years from now, I don't know. But we decided to check out Big Daddy's, which is a New Orleans-inspired restaurant in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And it's right off the St. Andrews Metro. Oh, I keep saying Metro. I know it's not called Metro, but
that's
I'm
okay.
Just used to D.C.
It's they right know what
off,
you're saying.
It's right off the Metro stop for the St. Andrews Church. Mm-hmm. And it's so
cool. You actually
walked
past St. Andrew's Church to get there.
Yes. So after talking to my boss about the Winterlicious thing and going online and doing a little research, we decided to go there because they had what looked like a pretty cool little deal for Winterlicious. And it was right around $25 for the menu. So first you walk up to the place, and it's one of those places that are underneath the building.
Kind
of
like
to walk
Cheers.
Down. Yeah, so you feel like you're walking down to a speakeasy, which is kind of cool anyway.
Yeah.
It's simple things
it works.
Like that. They entertain us.
Then and when you get inside, the decoration really works because you can actually... picture yourself on a patio in a French Quarter at night.
Yes.
Because the ceiling's all painted black, and they've got all these white French columns with hanging baskets and plants and stuff, and these little booths. So, and if you're not in a booth, you have like almost like these patio tables. So you can picture yourself in the French Quarter in New Orleans at night.
Very nice decor. I particularly appreciated the fact that there's no real dress code.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go look like a slob in your worst stained, torn-up clothing, but at the same time, two people who had been tromping all over the city all day in jeans and warm clothing because we were out in the elements all day, we didn't feel out of place because there were other people that were dressed like us.
Yeah.
There were other parties there that were dressed up a little bit.
There was tourists, there was work buddies, there was ladies that lunch that were out for dinner.
Yes.
There was students there. It was a great cross-section of anybody that could have possibly... been in Toronto at that time.
Exactly. The staff was nothing but absolutely friendly and wonderful. Now the food. We get there and look at the prefix menu. And as soon as we walked in, they said, have you heard of Winterlicious? And we said, actually, that's why we're here. And they said, excellent. Here's the Winterlicious menu, and we'll give you the regular menu just in case you see anything else you'd like. So they have a very small regular menu, but at this place, most everything's actually on the prefix menu.
Yeah, so which is to say their main menu has a prefix menu as well.
Yes, which is really cool. So we looked at the Winterlicious menu, we're like, oh, that looks good. And then we looked at the main menu for the prefix stuff and said, that looks even better, and it's the same price.
And the fish of the day is catfish? Well, okay.
Yes. There were so many cool things, but once the waiter told us that the fish of the day for the one fish dish was catfish, we both caved. They got the same thing, which we try never to do, but we had to.
But it was a special occasion.
It was. So for your appetizer...
I got the seafood gumbo, and... it was delicious. It was hearty. It was a nice serving. And the flavor was really good. There was plenty of clams and shrimp and stuff in it. And then I got the clam roe, which I wasn't expecting.
It took us 3 weeks to figure out what this was.
Clam or oyster roe? Well, I'm sitting there eating, and then I got to the end of the bowl, and there was this little gray bag. And I'm like, what's that? Well, it's probably an oyster or something. So I put it in my mouth and bit into it, and it was like this bag of salt water, which was kind of disconcerting. I'm like... it was like fishy salt water. Like, what the hell did I just eat? I'm sure it was supposed to be there. And it didn't taste bad. I just wasn't sure what it was.
But then you were watching Bizarre Foods.
Yeah.
And she figured it
Andrew
out.
Andrew Zimmerman explained, oh yeah, and this is a oyster roe. And this is exactly what it's like when you bite into it. I'm like, that's exactly what I had in my gumbo.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
But Sheila wasn't quite sure what to think of that. So I had the PEI mussels. Now, the first... this place has great bread.
Yeah.
Second, it's also an oyster bar. So if you're going to go to Toronto and you want to have oysters, and you want, it's a hazard because you're not near, like, a sea, I would feel comfortable eating it there because they really know what they're doing.
And Prince Edward Island is only 2 hours away by plane.
Yes. So I didn't want to quite go for the oysters because I've never had them before and I wasn't sure if I'd like them. I'm going to wait till I have another day where I'm feeling really adventurous.
Right.
But I decided I love PEI mussels. Let's get the PEI mussels. I was expecting maybe a dozen of these things. They bring out this giant serving bowl. I can't call it a soup bowl in good conscience.
Right.
This huge serving bowl full of PEI mussels just heaped to the top. I stopped counting after 16, and I still had plenty of mussels left in the bowl. And there was this amazing Cajun broth that came with it, and it was just to die for. This was my appetizer. I would normally call that a nice meal.
Yes. You still have two more courses left to go.
Uh-huh. Now, when we decided to go out to dinner like this, we did not expect to go someplace where we were going to get stuffed full of food. We know when you go someplace a little bit nicer, usually you don't get as large of portions, but it's so
it's like
spectacular, it's okay.
Better quality ingredients, small portions.
Exactly. Not at Big Daddy's. They are intent on making you roll up those stairs when you leave. Oh, we also had for the, we had beer with it. We had, we have Rickard's White with it, or was
yeah.
it?
Yeah, we had Rickard's White.
I couldn't remember if it was Rickard's or if it was,
Alexander
Keith's. Pretty sure it was Rickard's.
Rickard's, I think.
Which the Rickard's White went very well with everything we had because it kind of cuts a little bit of the spicy
yeah.
in some of the seasonings. Really good. So after I finished off my meal of PEI mussels, and you even had a couple too, and I'm still just like, oh my god.
Dying over there.
And Sheila at that point had also eaten a serving of bread, I think.
Yeah, because the bread was awesome.
It was her downfall though. Then the catfish
it
comes
was
out. And you have this giant fillet of catfish. And it's hiding, it's concealing this pile of Cajun-inspired Mexican rice.
It was, I think they called
Spanish
it Creole rice.
Creole rice.
Spanish rice.
Which it was like Spanish rice, but it was better.
Yeah.
And then you had a nice, healthy serving of steamed vegetables on the side. So I look at it and think, well, that's not so bad. We could finish that without a problem. And then I saw the carbs underneath the fish. The catfish.
The fish was, like, artistically draped over it. Just why we didn't realize how much carb there actually was.
It was hiding, so patrons don't run screaming from the restaurant once they realize what they've gotten themselves into. That's what it was doing. It was deception on a plate. The fish was great. I haven't had good catfish in a very long time.
Yeah.
And that was phenomenal catfish.
It was.
Fresh,
it was,
delicious.
It was bronzed instead of blackened, which I guess it has different spices, and it wasn't as spicy.
Yes. And sometimes with catfish, you can get a fishy bite here or there, especially when you get to the thinner part of the fillet. This
towards,
was
like towards the tail, I guess.
Yeah, this was 100% delicious, amazing. Sheila was in love with the rice. Had she not been married to me, she probably would have proposed to the rice on the spot. The vegetables were perfect. They were al dente.
Nice and
steamed. They weren't
super
spiced.
Bright green.
Yes.
Not
fresh.
No wilty, floppy bit about them.
Yes. So we finish that, and then the waiter comes up and says, you're ready for dessert.
Oh, God.
And that's what we said. We had ordered the bread pudding.
Bourbon Street bread pudding.
Bourbon Street bread pudding. And it comes out, and it is a hearty size of bread pudding. Thank God it was not in the trough that he told us it was going to come out in. It was great.
Yeah.
Excellent bread pudding. Delicious. And Sheila could not finish hers.
Though I felt horrible.
I have made a solemn pledge to leave no dessert unfinished.
Tracy helped me.
I stepped up to the plate and cleaned it.
Don't worry. It didn't get wasted.
No, no. Overall, for the price we paid, the food was phenomenal. The portions were, I would say, a solid 4, if not almost a 5 on the portion
yeah.
scale. I think Aaron even would have pushed away, depending on the appetizer he ordered, and said, okay, I'm done.
He would have just finished it and went, okay, I'm stuffed to the gills.
Yes. But everything was just perfect. I definitely want to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend it to anybody who's looking for a reasonable, nice place in Toronto to go check out, especially if you happen to like any kind of style of Southern food.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Terry go there and see her opinion, since she is from New Orleans.
Yeah.
And see how it measures up to the real thing. Because they are realistic on the website, and they do say it's New
it's
Orleans
inspired. Yeah.
Yes, they don't try to say it's authentic, which is nice that they're realistic. And the other thing they do that I thought was super cool is they do, was it Mardi Gras Tuesdays? Every day's Fat Tuesday?
Yeah.
Every Tuesday's Fat Tuesday.
Exactly.
And they also do a thing, it's like beads for breast cancer.
Right, so you can bring in your beads.
Well, you can buy beads and donate to breast cancer, and you can also give them your bra, and you get beads, and you get a donation made to breast cancer and everything. They do a lot of cool little things to help raise money for breast cancer, which I think is kind of cool, considering that the concept of New Orleans and Mardi Gras is so married to boobs.
Yeah.
That it's neat to see them put that twist on it, too. So, Big Daddy's, two
hearty
thumbs up. Very good.
just thinking about it now, I want to just get in the car and go there.
I know, we can't, though.
I know.
You have to work tonight.
I know.
I think we'll go back in the spring.
Yeah.
I think we'll go back in the spring and do some other touristy stuff. Maybe actually hit Casa Loma this time. And then head back and do the oyster bar thing. Because I really think that's the place to go for us to have our first oyster experience if we're not going to do it by the sea.
Yes.
So, because I've never had them before. Like, real ones that are cold and raw.
You mean, like, raw?
Yeah.
Lemon?
My dad's had them. I don't remember if he likes them or not. But I've never tried them. So, I don't think I would have tried them even 10 years ago. That's a little weird.
But after China, nothing is weird.
No. After sushi, you know. After that, I'm like, well, if my line is lobster sashimi, and even then I might try it, I can certainly eat a couple of raw oysters.
Well, it's not like they're really alive, I don't think.
Well, the oysters are dead, but I'm talking about lobster sashimi. If that's
right.
My line, raw oysters don't even touch that line.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like,
yeah.
The oysters aren't even alive.
No, they're dead.
Or at least they don't have eyes to look at you, so.
That's true.
Good to go.
Oh, my God. The oyster looks at me pleadingly. Please don't eat me. Shut up.
Ah, the lemon. Ow, Tabasco. Oh, what a world.
Is there anything else you want to toss on the Toronto episode? The zoo, we didn't eat anything at the zoo because everything was closed.
Yeah.
They had one snack bar open, and it was cleaning up when we walked in at 3 o'clock. So.
And they only had, like, some wrapped-up sandwiches. They didn't have anything really at all. So
I think our next foray to the zoo will be when the weather's warm, and I think we will bring our picnic basket. Have we ever talked about our picnic bag?
I don't think we have, actually.
No.
Oh, wait, yes, we did.
We did. Okay.
We took a picnic in Aurelia.
Yes.
One
well,
time.
In case you've never listened to that, we have an awesome picnic backpack that has plates and cups and everything included, and the backpack section's a cooler. And for two people, or even up to three people, like two people and a kid, it's perfect for afternoon outings. So if you ever see one of those on sale and you're interested, we've tested one and they're fantastic.
Recommend it.
So I think we're going to do that next time we go to the zoo, instead of relying on the zoo food, zoo biscuits.
Zoo biscuits.
No,
but
zoo
those
biscuits.
Aren't for us.
No, they're not. They're for the animals. So that was Toronto. The next episode up will probably be about Peterborough, and then we'll just play it by ear, put stuff up when we can. So, this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila. And we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.